The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
We just had the Challenge Cup Park here and the Wolfpack Toronto, that is. We're huffing and puffing, weren't they? Just, for me, they showed signs that they just not quite got it.
I thought you was going to come out with them. They couldn't quite blow the house down.
They couldn't, could they? First half they did, but second half, nah.
Well, I think that had something to do with their own discipline, didn't it? Or lack of. You know, we've called for strong refereeing, haven't we, all season? You know, we didn't
see any of that in the Challenge Cup.
Well, we did see some strong refereeing.
Did we? Where?
We saw a man get sent off for the Toronto Wolfpack.
Okay. It wasn't a sending off.
We saw a couple of dissenters sent to the sin bin. You can't go speaking back to referees.
No, you can't, but sin bins, really? Years ago in my day, when I was a kid watching the game, the referee just carried on walking down the field.
And what about that old-fashioned game on Thursday night between Featherstone and Hull?
What a
Nine
belter.
Players it ended up with.
What a belter.
Yeah,
Literally, what a belter.
That last 10 minutes, I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know what I thought? I thought the game was going on so long, and the referee, Scott Michalowskis, doesn't live that far from where we broadcast this from in Warrington.
Right.
And I thought, he's thinking, I'm wanting to get home, and I've heard that the M62 has got a few junctions shut. So because the game was dragging on, he just thought, right, if I'm not going home, none of you lot are going home, and started brandishing the cards.
There's one thing I'd like to do, is to bring back an old referee from the past and get their opinion of what they feel the quality of the referees are. But we can't do that tonight. But we have got a former referee in the building. Welcome to the family, to Warren Turley.
Good evening, how are we doing?
You know what? I thought you was actually going to be saying, you know, and we've got one from the past. I'm thinking he's only been retired as a referee for about 6 months.
He has. He's still new to the game.
Some said it should have been a lot longer than that.
I only said that a couple of times, to be honest, Warren.
Now, we know you're a former ref, but you still get Paul in the street to be asking about your Neil.
Oh, yeah. Most grounds I go to now, first question is, oh, how's Neil doing? And how's Norman doing as well? My dad obviously used to play a bit as well, so... it's nice actually, people still recognise obviously what they did back in rugby league quite a few years ago now for someone.
I was just thinking as well, there was a bloke that every time I went up to Whitehaven, and Warren's dad was involved in the coaching staff at Lee, he used to always shout, "Sit down, Turley!" And I think he's always looked a bit bereft ever since Lee's gone up there and he's not been involved.
He said a lot worse when he saw me refereeing up there, that's for sure.
Now that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Not refereeing now, so I've seen you around the ground still. What are you doing?
So I'm doing some match analysis work for an external company from the RFL. So it's getting me out and about, seeing some faces again. Still obviously get to speak to some of the boys, the referees and stuff when I'm at the grounds. But
it's a lot more laid back.
It's a lot more laid back, yeah. You've not got people baying for blood and you know, that goes with the nature of officiating. So, it's a lot more straightforward. But again, I'm still enjoying it, still part of the game and still... doing what I want to do with it.
I think the worst thing that you've got asked to do is lend a pen, haven't you, really, in the press box. That's yeah. Probably the worst it gets, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll be halfway through the game and think, actually, I need to go to the loo.
I actually saw you do that on Sunday. No, I'm only joking. It's thoroughly professional, obviously.
That's another edit I've got to do.
No, get away with that. Got to ask you, as a former referee, all right, you've only been recently retired, do you miss it?
Some elements. I mean, ahead of the Magic weekend this weekend, I think, oh well, I was involved with some fantastic games in some fantastic different stadia, but it's one of them things for me. Obviously, I struggled with injury towards the end of my refereeing and touch judging career, so the time was right. I was starting to enjoy it less each season, so there'd become that point where, yeah, I thought, right, the time's right now to jump out of it and give it to somebody else to have a go at. But yeah, no, certainly, we've, like I said, ahead of Magic weekend, stuff like that, you think, well, there's some pretty good games and some pretty big events that I won't be involved in on the field as much, but hopefully still be involved off the field.
Now, we mentioned your rugby league connection with the Turley family, with Neil and your dad.
Yeah.
Did you ever play?
Yeah, a few years back. Yeah. I played down at Lee East. That's always the club. I thought, well, my dad and my brother both played for Lee Miners, so... I might as well be the ugly duckling of the family, go and play on the dark side and then become a referee, you know, just kind of mix it up a little bit.
It's not that dark.
No, it's
as
not.
You know, with my involvement.
Yeah.
now a lot's been mentioned about there should be more former players coming through to referee. Do you think that's the way forward?
Yes and no. We've seen with some players who've come into refereeing that, yes, there's a little bit of scope and a little bit of crossover. And I know the NRL have had a few more cases than potentially what we've had over here. But it's like playing and coaching. The two things don't necessarily go together. Some players, after 20 years, some of them, of fans absolutely loving them, hate the thought of all of a sudden them fans turning against them and disagreeing with the decisions and things like that. So certainly that's, when I've spoken to some people, ex-players, that's certainly something that puts them off getting involved with officiating.
That's really interesting, that, because I'd never actually thought of it from that point of view before. But yeah, as a player, you receive the adulation, don't you?
You do.
As a referee, you're the guy that you're always doing wrong by somebody.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you only have to look at last couple of years. Let's take he's a little bit older, but let's take a Jamie Peacock or a Kevin Sinfield type character. They've gone from people shouting and singing the name and having selfies with them and signing autographs. The last thing that they want is to now be going on the field at under 10s or under 11s at Stanningley or somewhere like that and getting absolutely torn to pieces.
Welcome to the fan who said it is Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson talking Rugby League, the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. Thanks very much for our friends at Radio General for letting us use the studio. We've got Warren Turley in the house with us, so it's good to have him along. And we'll go easy on him, won't we?
We always do.
Yeah.
We always do.
Kind of mentioned Toronto a little bit, the huffed and puffed in the game against Warrington in the Challenge Cup. Come undone in the second half. That kind of gives them a bit of an idea of what they need to do if they are going to be competing in Super League.
It does, but they've also got to navigate another half a season at Championship, haven't they? Where they've got to host a lot of these clubs. A lot of these clubs are going to be coming over to Canada and thinking, well, actually, we have absolutely nothing to lose. We got flogged at home by the Toronto side. Let's see what we can do away.
Well, I suppose to lose, you've got nothing to lose.
Oh, I like what you did
in
there.
The Magic Weekend.
I like what you did there. And I do find it really interesting as well that both of those clubs are involved in the Magic Weekend. Yeah, maybe that's a way forward in trying to reinvigorate some interest in the Championship as well.
Without a doubt. Sixth round of the Challenge Cup was done and dusted. Some interesting scorelines, some predictable ones. I suppose the standout one, there's going to be Lee defeating Salford 22-10.
I'm pleased that I can actually speak positively about Lee in one of these podcasts for a change, and I can have a couple of minutes of shining the light, really, because it was a very, very good performance, particularly if you take into account the fact that Salford went 10-0 up within the first 10 minutes and were looking really good, weren't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, you was there at that game as well, Warren, and that first 10 minutes, it looked a bit ropey for the Centurions, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think from that kickoff when Jamie Atson dropped the ball 20 metres out, everyone was looking at each other thinking, ooh, this is going to be a long 80 minutes. But, all of a sudden, Lee started to turn it on a little bit once they got 10-0 down. And they really showed some classy stuff, I think, at times. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I don't think Lee have lost a half of rugby since there was, 30-odd points to nil down at Halifax away quite a few weeks ago now. So they've been pretty consistent over this last couple of months. I think what they've got now is a massive challenge ahead with Featherstone away, and then Toronto at the Bash with two teams who are above them, and they've got to try and take some points back off them after the poor start to the season.
Looking at that game though, and I mean, there was a couple of real standouts, players that have been around in Super League before. Harrison Hanson was superb. I don't think I've seen him play better in the last 3 years since he was actually regularly in Super League. And Peter Matautia has come into the club, played a bit at centre, they've moved him to fullback, and he's absolutely magic on the ball. I don't think he knows what he's going to do, and as a result it means the rest of the defensive line doesn't know what to do. There was one particular time where he drifted across, sent the ball out to Ben Reynolds, steamed under the post, and you wouldn't have come across that type of play anywhere in rugby league.
Unless your name's Ben Barber.
Isn't he special?
He's a bit special.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I suppose he's Lee's version of the magician.
He is.
The magic man.
He is. He'd probably like that comparison, to be honest.
Okay. We mentioned that winner for Lee Centurions, kicked off with Featherstone against Hull FC. That was a throwback to the 70s, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, was it? It was a little bit.
I really enjoyed that game, I have to admit. You know, what's wrong with a bit of full-blooded rugby
wrong
league
with it
action?
At all. We like fights.
People sort of decried that game, particularly on Sky, and said, "Oh, this isn't the type of rugby that we want to see." But let's be honest. Let's be honest. And I'm going to bring a former referee in here.
I thought you might on this one.
you know, it does sort of wind everybody up when there is a fight and it's sort of ongoing like that, and it's physical. Yeah. It's interesting. As a referee, you've got to have eyes in the back of your head and watching everyone. Were and yeah. thinking, oh, there's something going to be developing there, and there's something going to be happening somewhere else on the field. But I just love that game.
Yeah, it was good. A lot of people on social media the last few days, I know they've been saying, oh, well, you've got some people who are going, oh my God, this is ridiculous. But actually, a lot of people are saying, isn't this better than five drives and a kick? Because it's given us something to talk about. It's given us those, the cards, the challenges, the things like that. I mean, Missy Talapapa's tackle on poor Jamie Shaw, may I add. I mean, you don't see that in rugby league every day.
Yeah, I've heard of late tackles, but that arrived about 3 seconds early, didn't it, that one? The ball just went up in the air, and I'm going to call him Missile Talapapa from now on, because he just shot out of the line. Bang, Jamie Shaw had it.
I imagine the referee's still writing out his match report.
Yeah, he's probably still doing it.
We used to have to ring PA Sports up and give all the information on cards and scores and everything. It's a good job we don't have to do that anymore, because I think he'd still be on to them now.
Hull FC winning that one 38-20. Lee defeated Salford 22-10, like we said. Huddersfield defeated Wakefield 24-14. Leeds Rhinos were cruising against Widnes, but then were hanging on as Widnes fought the way back, but still lost out 23-20. Castleford, I thought this one might have been a bit close, but St Helens racking up the points, 36-18 winners. Castleford too strong for Whitehaven, winning that one 56-10. Hawkinson Rovers lost that to Wigan 28-10. And Warrington 2-4 Toronto wins 66-10.
I've said for a few weeks, and you've decried me, and all these Castleford fans that listen to this podcast will probably hate me now, but I don't think they're the side that they were last year. Not,
I've got to agree
at all.
With you now. No,
and,
yeah, true.
You know, they don't look half as potent. They look a bit shaky in defence. A similar type of thing happened with Darryl Powell over at Featherstone, where he took them so far. He got them qualifying for grand finals. He got them to the top of the league. But teams were working him out on the big occasions. And I've got a feeling that that might be starting to turn in Super League now.
Well, we're saying that, and we look at the league table. Cass have got two games in hand on Hull and Warrington, and both above them. And okay, they're drawing with Hull on points, and the 4 points behind Warrington, but are they not playing it like Leeds have done for the last few years and timing it right?
Or keeping the cool.
Yeah, there's no extra points this time of year for beating teams with 40, 50, 60 and scoring some fantastic tries. They've had Dennis Olomona and Greg Eden, two top try scorers in previous years, but really, they've not come away with the spoils at the end of the season.
Mentioned Lee defeating Salford Park at UCAR talk with Jack Owens, who for me said there. He's had an interesting career, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Here's what he had to say. Well, Jack Owens, here we are after a famous cup victory. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was nice to go into a game and sort of feel a bit free with the game. You know, we've had a tough start to the league, and we clawed that back now, and we're coming to this game with some good form, and I think we've shown that tonight, the best our game on work ethic, and we turned up for each other tonight and we got the win that we deserve.
Was it a welcome relief, sort of stepping away from league action? Because sometimes the club's on this roll at this moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is always, you know. I think it doesn't matter where you are in the league, if you're someone like St Helens and you're flying at the top, or you're like us and we're working hard to get in that top four. Whenever you get a challenge cut, you know, everyone wants to get to Wembley and win it. And, you know, we're in the round now, and we'll see what happens. But we're forcing the league now, and we've got about four games coming up now, and yeah, we'll go from there.
It all starts with Featherstone next week. Before I touch on that, though, I suppose your thoughts coming up against Super League opposition again?
Yeah, it was good to play against Super League opposition again. You know, we believe we're at that standard. We believe we're a Super League team in Championship, and we didn't show that the first couple of months. Started to show it now, and you know, they weren't perfect again, but like I said, the work ethic that we've got for each other, it just turns out for us, and we're getting the wins that we need at the minute.
Give us a bit of an idea, because obviously you're new to the club this season. Are you settled in now?
Yeah, it was sort of, you know, it was a bit nervous when you moved clubs, but I think out of the 27 players we've got in the team, I think 19 of us were new. And for some reason, we just didn't kick on the league at the start, and it just weren't working, but we've all gelled, and I'm enjoying my time here, and hopefully I'll be here next year, see what happens. And like I said, I'm just taking things game by game, and we've got Featherstone on Saturday.
Can you put the finger on how it didn't work in those first few weeks of the season? Because it was just really odd.
Yeah, I think especially in rugby league, you sort of... you're not too far away from being brilliant, but you're also not too far away from coming up really short, and that's what we were doing at the start of the year. Some, I think the effort was there, but we were just dumb. We were putting effort into the wrong areas, and we've just got it going working at the minute. And like I said, we're going to roll on from this game now, and we're going to get in there Saturday, and hopefully we'll have a good game at Feversham. They put a good performance in against Hull yesterday. They showed a lot of grit and done well against a top higher end Super League team, so should be a good game.
Looking at your own form, you've already performed in say three or four different positions. Are you enjoying your time? Are you feeling a bit more settled?
Yeah, it's good to sort of, you know, I've been in and out of the team a bit this year and played a lot of played half full back, half on the wing, and we've got a good rotation. You've seen today Pete was struggling a little bit towards that last 20 minutes, so I just jumped back at full back, and I don't mind where I play, to be honest with you. I'll give 100% effort every game, and like I said, if I play full back, I'm happy. If I play on the wing, I'm happy still, so just happy to get the win and roll on to the next round and see who we get.
Today was one of those games as well where you mentioned one of the players who was a real standout, another Harrison Hanson. What's it like playing alongside these type of guys?
Yeah, I don't know how he's still going, to be honest with you. He's been around a long time, and you know, everyone's seen what he was like at Wigan. He was devastating, you know, he was killing it. And when I first seen him in pre-season, I thought, how good is fit? You know, he's near the front of conditioning, he looks after himself, and he's killing for us at the minute. Just the yards he makes, he just attracts so many players, and it's good to have someone like him and Nicky Hines come back in to have that experience. So it's good to, with us being a new team, I think it sort of settled us a bit, having that experience around us now, them two playing well, and when they're composed, I think it makes us a lot more composed.
Because yeah, I mean, you take those guys out of the team and the average age drops a heck of a lot, doesn't it? There is a lot of youth in this squad.
Yeah, it is, and I think that's the beauty of it. I think we're that young and everyone wants to impress and everyone wants to get back in Super League. So you know, if Mickey Yang don't play, like tonight Liam Wood didn't play, he's scored about eight games in the run now. You know, he's playing well for us. Mark's come back into the team today, so like you say, you take them out, the average age does drop, but you've got the likes of Tom who's played 200 Super League games, you've got Craig Hall played 250 games, so we've got a lot of experience within the youth. So yeah, it's a good group of players, and I'm really enjoying my time.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
We heard from Jack Owens. He's had an interesting career. Started off really brightly at Widnes, didn't he? Fell away, had a go at St Helens, went to Sheffield. Now he's at Lee. Can Lee do it? And is he doing all right?
He's definitely doing all right. Yeah. He's done well at full back and on the wing. He played a couple of games at standoff as well at one point earlier on in the season. He's a player that I know.
He's only young still, isn't he?
He is. He's only 23, so he's got.
Definitely young compared to us three.
Compared with me and you, anyway. Warren's a little bit closer to that age, to be fair. Okay. But I think he's a decent player, but he needs a bit of love around him, I think. Maybe he didn't get that in his later years at Widnes. Maybe he didn't have that at St Helens. But he certainly is playing with a bit of consistency.
Unfortunately, at the time at St Helens, there wasn't really much love going around the place, was there, really? Whereas Justin Horbrook certainly got it in abundance at the moment.
Yeah, he's got him playing back in that St Helens fashion, hasn't he, Warren?
Yeah, what a difference a year makes for St Helens. I mean, talking about Magic Weekend
song?
Quite a bit.
That's a song, isn't it?
It is, just.
Listen, we're talking rugby league, come on.
I was sat at Magic Weekend last year thinking, wow, he's turned them round in one training session when they went and beat Hull with 40 points. And they've kind of continued that, really, I suppose. They're turning back into the Saints of old, aren't they?
We heard about Warrington defeating Toronto. Let's hear from Stephen Ratchford. And despite that scoreline, Parky, he did say it was a tough game, you know.
Yeah, it was a tough game. We knew they was going to come with a lot of attacking quality. We've seen, you know, the performances they've put on this year in the Championship, and they like to rack up the points, so we knew it was going to be tough, and we knew they was going to throw a lot at us, you know, attacking wise, and we had to be on defensively, and unfortunately for us we got caught out a couple of times in that first 20 minutes.
Certainly did, but the boys got back on track and certainly blew them away second half.
Yeah, we, like I say, I think after that first 20 minutes we kind of dropped our levels and got sucked into the ill discipline that they brought with us, where, you know, they was trying to slow us down and kind of spoil the game. We're probably renowned for, you know, we like to play quick, and they was trying to find touch and trying to slow the ruck up, and you know, all credit to them, it's a tactic they've got to try and use, but I think they just probably held on a bit too long, and the ill discipline started to cost them. And like I say, I think after the 20 minute mark we started to get get into our structures and it started to pay dividends.
A lot will be made about the sending off, but it's all about winning what's in front of you, and you did it in a fully professional manner.
Yeah, we did. Like I said, they was trying to slow it down and kind of spoil the game for us and take us out of our stride. And like I said, they did that the first 20 minutes. We got dragged into what they was doing. But then after that, we kind of switched on to what we needed to do. And like I say, you can only play, the numbers that's in front of you. It's not our problem if they want to spoil the game and get I think they have 3 sim binnings are sending off, and if that's the tactics they want to use, unfortunately, it's backfired today. But like I say, I think we was. When the red card did happen, we didn't get dragged into that, and we was quite professional and went about our job as well as we could.
And the wins for the boys keep coming.
Yeah, like I say, we're in a good spot at the moment. We're heading in the right direction. We know we've still got a lot of improvement. And like I said, that first 20 minutes was quite disappointing for us, but after that we picked up. So yeah, we're still picking up wins, and we know we've still got some improvement in us, which is a good sign. And we'll have a good week this week, and we've got a massive test against Wigan next week.
This is going to be a good curtain raiser for the quarter final against Wigan.
Yeah, whenever you play Wigan, it's always a special game. It's always a packed house. It's always a tough, intense game, and Magic's going to be no different, and the Challenge Cup quarterfinals be going to be no different from that as well. So yeah, we've got a few tough weeks coming up, but it's one we'll be looking forward to.
How are you feeling? Are you happy with your form?
Yeah, I think I think personally and as a team we're in a good spot at the moment. We're heading in the right direction with our attacking structures. We've tweaked a few things defensively. We know we're getting better, but again we've got improvement in that. So I think as a whole, personally and as a squad, we know we're heading in the right direction, but we know we've got improvement as well. So we'll keep building and we'll see where this run takes us.
He's playing well, isn't he?
He is playing well. Just a point, because with my interviews, it's usually someone opening a door or dragging something along the floor. With your interviews, just like we heard there's a bit of a phantom whistler going on.
Yeah, I've heard it in every interview I've done this year. Someone's following me around.
Yeah. It must have my whistle when I hung up last year.
Is that what it is? It's the ghost of Warren Turley's refereeing career as a whistler. Yeah, but Warren Turley's on fire, aren't they?
Yeah,
as a club, as a team at the minute.
Safely through to the next round of the Challenge Cup as well, but playing some really attractive rugby. We were just chatting off the mic there about people that have made a great influence, and we were saying Bryson Goodwin has proved a real decent signing, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's the signing of the season, really. I know some people would argue Ben Barber, but obviously he was over here at the end of last season, but he's probably the best player Lee have never had. I know they made a bit of money on him because they signed him originally for a Super League contract, but I think he's made a massive difference to Warrington. He's got a real attacking flair, and obviously he's brought a goal-kicking element as well.
We've already touched on Warrington playing Wigan. Mm-hmm. Who's the rest of the quarter-final draw?
Well, it's St Helens taking on the Holders, Hull FC. Leeds Rhinos host Lee Centurions over at Featherstone Rovers, strangely enough. And it's Huddersfield Giants taking on the Catalans Dragons.
Can Lee cause another upset?
Well, I think they'll be a bit more used to playing at Featherstone than Leeds will. They've played there many times down the years. In fact, I think at one point, like I've said, my car almost automatically knows to come to the studio here at Radio General. At one point, I could have pressed a button and it took it to Featherstone.
Right, okay.
I know when you talk about used to playing teams, Warrington and Wigan are playing each other in the quarterfinal of the Cup. 2 weeks before that, they'll have played each other at Magic Weekend. They'll play each other another 2 times in the league, and potentially again in the eights, and then potentially again in the semi-finals.
Are you highlighting a bit of a fixture overkill here?
Yeah, massively. I think Magic Weekend should replace a league fixture, and every year, I know some people have said, well, you're taking Wigan's home game or Warrington's home game off them. We'll switch it around the year after, because we're creating an extra fixture, an extra game for players and everything like that when we don't need it.
And to be fair, Wigan's already lost one of the home fixtures this year, haven't they? Because they switched it over to Australia.
Yeah, they did. So they obviously cut the quid down in the coppers.
Not sure about that.
Or maybe they made money. We were all told that they made money on that, weren't they? Because of the extra sponsorship that they were able to get in Australian dollars.
Now, here's an interesting interview that's coming up right now. Toronto were in town in Warrington, and Houghton FM's Phil Fernley, he actually got hold of the... Is he still the co-owner? Is he, what's his role there?
I think he's chief executive at the moment now.
He's the man who set it all up, and Phil Fernley caught up with him.
Eric, we last spoke in October 2014. The Wolfpack have come a long way since then. Can you give me a summary of that?
Yeah, so started playing. Won League One pretty easily. And now top of the championship. And now here at a big Challenge Cup six-round tie.
How's the development going in Canada?
Oh, it's going pretty well. People are getting excited about the sport. It's a long process. It's going to take years, but I feel good about it.
And what's the chance of another team in North America joining you before too long?
Very good. Yeah, very good. Very good prospects. Yeah.
Can you put any more detail in that, or is it?
I wouldn't be able to say. Yeah, I don't want to jeopardize anything I'm doing. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you be involved in that?
Yes.
There you go. Short and sweet.
What's short and sweet? Interesting thing there, though, is that you know Phil had to do a little bit of prodding with him, but he's admitted that he's going to be involved in this new North American club.
Is it New York? Is it Denver?
Could we be seeing next year New York taking on Old York?
Could we? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
It would.
Alice is honest.
He was, yeah. Expansion in rugby league. North American expansion. Will it work? Warren, what's your thoughts? I'm asking you the big question here, aren't
you? Put me on the spot. yes and no. I mean, it's great at the moment, and Toronto are creating a great product over there, and the fact that he was getting a consistent 8,000 over there put some of the Super League fixtures and games to shame. Is it sustainable? That's $1 million question, isn't it?
That is, then, and they're spending more than $1 million to get there at the moment,
definitely,
aren't they?
I mean, it's great that they're playing at the Magic Weekend this week, but they're paying for it, which again is fantastic. But is it sustainable? Is it something that's going to be there? Now, apparently, this Dave Argyle, who's kind of owning it all and putting all the money in, apparently has got multi-millions, which is fantastic. But if he decides all of a sudden that actually Toronto Football want a bit more money, or the Blue Jays need a bit more money, and he jumps ship, then that would have been my only concern about what then happens to the Wolfpack.
To be fair, though, I mean, you've summed up about 90% of rugby league finances there, haven't you? Because most of them tend to have one big backer behind them, that if they fall out with it, the club falls down, doesn't it?
As Salford found out.
Who knows who they're going to have to sell next month just to pay the wages, because that seems to be how it goes, doesn't it?
I totally agree. I think the differences between that is the owner, Mr. Argyle at Toronto, is also paying for the flights, for the accommodation, for the players for a couple of months in Toronto. He's paying for stuff like this Magic Weekend. He's putting a lot of money in. I know that they've not taken any money off the RFL because from the Sky deal, because they want to get their own TV deal and exclusively keep that money to them. So they're doing a lot of putting in and not a lot of taking, which is fantastic, but what happens when they can't put in any more?
Exactly. That it's just that question about sustainability, isn't it? And to be honest, is he not rushing into it? He's only done a year as Toronto as a club, and straight away he's saying, right, I'm off to set another one up.
It's not like it's in like the heartlands of the UK, where if you're going to put a club together, you might go from Wigan to St Helens or Widnes to Warrington, which is a couple of miles. You're doing it there. He's going thousands of miles away.
And also, you're setting it up in a place where there's no rugby league heritage at all. There's nothing that links the game to that country. So you've got to go to a foreign territory. You've got to go and really sell the sport. Now, if you can do that, and then you're doing a great job, and maybe that's something that we can take back from whatever they're doing to attract 8,000 to 9,000 people.
You only have a look at Saka. I mean, there they go in the 70s, didn't they? It folded, and it's come back as it is now.
And to be fair, I mean, that's been sustainable for the last 20 years, hasn't it, with the Major League Soccer. So maybe it is the case of Major League Rugby League. But you know my thoughts on it. I always feel that if you're going to be spending that much money on the infrastructure of one club, then you could probably spend a fraction of that cost and set up 6-8 amateur clubs, which would then help you feed your players. They'd bring players through, wouldn't you? And then you're not just having to bring players in from all around the globe or Lee.
I'm just wondering about referees when the games come up. I wonder if they all scrap into want to get over there and be the ref.
Oh, well, it's certainly a bigger appeal than West Wales Raiders, that's for sure. And that's no disrespect to them, but for 4.5 hours in a car to go to West Wales, Toronto's a nicer option somewhat.
I wonder how they sort out who's the ref. Have you got to earn brownie points in head office?
It's still done in a normal appointment system, obviously because of the travel and the time needed off work and stuff, it's done more in advance for the officials, so they know about a month in advance.
Now, we have been talking about the Challenge Cup, but let's not ignore the rest of Rugby League. And I've been around the Super League a week before. And before we go into detail with the results, Steve Manning caught up with St Helens big chief Justin Holbrook after their defeat at Catalans 26-12.
Well, Justin, a bit of an underwhelming performance, but it's all about the 2 points, isn't it?
Yeah, you're spot on. You know, we weren't great tonight, but the main thing was we won. You know, I thought both teams probably be disappointed in how the game was played tonight, but as you said at the start, the main thing was we won, so I'm happy.
I mean, when Reagan got that try just after half-time, I think possibly the speckies, I mean, they were expecting other points, so they thought, well, here we go. But then a little bit of a trying to be too expansive from Dominic, they go and score, and then it becomes an arm wrestle, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, it did. Exactly that. So it was...
I'm not after your job.
No, you're spot on. Yeah, I won't need a comment. I'll just say yes or no. So, it was just a tough game. You know, we've come off a couple of really good wins and, you know, expected to do the same again tonight, and Catalans are a better side than where they sit, so we knew that. And we had a few blokes not at their best, but look, I can't be hard on them. You know, we've been great for a while now, and, you know, it was important to win, and we'll look forward to next week.
And James Robey got a run out as well, which I think you wanted, and I think was that what you were expecting with about 60 minutes and then let Matty come on and do the final 20?
Yeah, that's right. It's just good to get Robes back out there and get a run under his belt tonight, so he did that.
He's a machine, isn't he?
He's very, very good, isn't he, James Robey? Really good.
He's signed a new deal as well, so he's not quite ready to throw the boots away yet, is he?
Well, he's like a fine wine. He just seems to be getting better season after season, doesn't he?
A bit like me, that. I'm a fine wine.
When are you signing your contract with St Helens now?
In my dream team next season.
Has Justin been on the phone?
But Steve Manning has.
Steve Manning has. He's the new coach in the series.
Right, okay.
And that was from round 14 in the Super League. Round 14 already, my word. Season flying away. Other winners in round 14, Wigan defeated Salford 13-0. Huddersfield defeated Widnes 28-18. Warrington, what a game this was, 33-22 against Leeds Rhinos. Hull FC piled on the misery for Casford, winning that one 36-12. A big win for Wakefield against Hull Kingston Rovers 54-18.
Yeah, nice to see Wakefield getting back to some semblance of form, because they've been a bit hit and miss, haven't they, since the opening 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
They have, yeah.
Wigan coming up with a formulative win against Salford Red Devils. Sam Tompkins, the man who's in the news at the moment,
he is
scoring 2 tries there, but he's on the move, isn't he, Big Sam?
Yeah, the news is, it's already rumoured, wasn't it, being linked with a move to France, Catalans. A few people denied it, and then Wigan made the announcement that they've decided not to... they offered him a contract, didn't they? He's decided not to sign it.
It's all very interesting. The contract was allegedly still quite a substantial one, wasn't it?
Interesting comment from the Wigan club. They were moaning about a club making a move early doors in the season. I think, hang on a minute. How many years have you done that for?
Well, this is rugby league, isn't it? And so we can't just pinpoint Wigan here. I'm sure that everybody's approached a player before they should have done, really. They've got this, what do they call it? Tapping deadline, is it, or something? Non-tamper deadline, which usually you can't really speak to anybody until the 1st of May. And it almost seems like half of the contracts have been agreed in April.
Well, I'm interested by Sam Tompkins going, because he tried New Zealand and he got homesick. Mm-hmm. He's come back to Wigan because he missed his mum, God bless him. And now he's going to France. When he get homesick again?
Not with 9% tax.
That'll make the league a little bit easier.
Yeah, just a bit easier.
And I suppose he can transfer his beloved pies across as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, you can get those done. I mean, he might even find... Because, I mean, they have some brilliant patisseries over there, don't they?
They do.
Well, with Mickey Mack and Lewis Tierney and Ian Thornley down there, they could do well building a pie shop.
It's like a Wigan old school event.
On Canet Plage, just on the front there, it'd do well.
Now, I wonder if you're going to try and talk French like Richie Marler tried. Didn't you remember when he had a little dabble?
Oh, yeah.
Oui, maybe oui. Ooh-la-la, wee-wee, signed for Warrington. Is that how he did it?
Signed for Warrington.
Or he could go to the Joey Barton School of French and sound like this.
As I said yesterday, I make one tackle and all everybody speak about is this tackle. Nobody speaks about the 50-yard pass that kills Balmon and it causes a red card for him. And nobody talks about the shot that Landru would have been happy to see. You know, he didn't see the ball, never mind have a chance to save it. So for me, it's important that people speak about the qualities I bring as a footballer, and I'm a little bit bored, you know, from the English media, and hopefully the French media has more about it than the English media, and concentrate on stupid little incidents like this. Maybe the one criticism of the French league is it's a little bit.
So we'll cut through. Don't want to be talking about the round game. We're talking rugby league on the fan. Who said? But can you imagine Sam Tonkin sounding like that?
He sounds a bit like Gary Etherington, actually, Joey Barton there, he? Talking about the English media, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I can see Sam Tonkins talking like that when he's over there next season.
It's all about the pass.
The pass, in fact, the kick, the high tackle.
Do you
I sounded German. Is it
German?
You're already into it, yeah. Who are you going for, the Dusseldorf?
Dusseldorf Panthers. It's a new team.
Right, okay.
Dusseldorf Panthers.
Hey, get on to that David Argyle. He might fund it for you.
He might do. Get in word. No great play. Dusseldorf.
But yes, I love that interview. Doesn't it not just remind you of a lower low from, you know, the policeman?
You're showing your age.
I am showing my age here.
Now, what does that mean then? Does that mean Zach Harder is going to Wigan? Is that being confirmed?
It's not been confirmed yet, but right, okay. I wonder whether there'll be a press release in the coming days and weeks.
Because he is serving his ban at the minute, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes.
What do we think of his ban?
We had this kind of discussion, didn't we, the other week. And yes. All I'll say, he's got a good defence.
He's got a better defence than West Wales.
Oh, don't be like that. I'm liking the boys from West Wales. I'm liking their endeavour.
Their endeavour led them to score 3 tries last weekend.
Half the points, didn't they?
They did concede 70, unfortunately, at the other side of things. But in 2 weeks, they've improved by 100%.
Who were the other winners in League One, then?
So the winners last weekend were Bradford Bulls, 54-16 against London Scholars. York City Knights, 58-18 at Coventry Burghs. Oldham 74-6 winners against Hemel Stags, and of course I mentioned West Wales Raiders 18 Doncaster 70.
It is the fan of who, so we're talking rugby, you've got Warren Turley in the house as well. Got to ask you one question about your refereeing career. What's the funniest thing you've ever seen?
You put me on the spot. Ever seen?
Yeah, on the pitch when you were refereeing.
I'll not name the name of the player because he's still playing Super League, but I once touched us at Headingley, so that narrows it down for you. And this team conceded a try, and it was when the terrace behind the goalpost, well, there was nobody there, so it might give a clue who they was playing, and one of the players had to nip off over the hoardings, up the terrace in and behind the scoreboard. I'll not tell you what he did, but he come back a few minutes after and he hadn't washed his hands.
Ew.
And went straight back into the action. So yeah, that was one of the most unusual ones. But yeah, no, I mean, being in the middle, it is funny because you see and hear things that a lot of people never will, and that's one thing that does attract people to go into officiating, is you are the closest person to all the action, because no matter where the ball goes, you should always be pretty much the closest.
Now, everyone's got their favourite old-fashioned referee. Old-fashioned, can I use that? Yeah. Mine used to be Stan Wall.
Okay.
Right. Warren Turley. Who's your favourite former referee?
He's good with questions tonight, isn't he?
Yeah.
Glad he asked you first.
Yeah, no.
Gives you time to think, because I know you need time to think. I'd say Stan Wall.
I used to enjoy watching Colin Morris referee, because I once remember somebody saying that he's worth the admission fee alone, Colin. he was great. His signals and everything, you certainly knew what was going on in the game. Coming to newer times, when I first started refereeing, Ashley Klein did my recruitment course as a referee. I thought he was one of the best referees we've had over here.
Is he still over there in Australia?
He is, yeah. He's a regular in the NRL.
Oh, a regular.
So yeah, I'd probably have to say Ashley from when I kind of started. But I think the game misses Richard Silverwood and his experience as well at the moment. I know we've got a lot of young refs coming through and refereeing Super League, and I thought some of his comments on BBC Umberside, I think it was last week, were really valid points.
I'm going to say John Holdsworth. because he was
the
just
Holdsworth.
He was just dead theatrical.
He was, wasn't he?
Every time a brawl broke out, he'd be right in the middle of it, wouldn't he? Dragging players off, you know. And he couldn't do that these days.
Not at all.
He refereed that game and was on about America before, weren't we? In Milwaukee, Wigan, and Warrington. He refereed that down there. I remember, I can still hear him shouting, "Ellery, Ellery," when a fight kicked off over there.
Yeah, the Holdsworth.
Yeah.
Classic rugby league referee name.
I also quite like the two Conleys as well from Wigan. They were very good referees in the time.
Yeah, I think they both got done over a little bit because they couldn't referee Wigan, which obviously back then they won everything, didn't they, Wigan? They was in every final. So, yeah, they didn't really get much chance to referee the big matches in some ways, but obviously they end up, I know certainly Bob did a couple of test matches and stuff later on.
We've been talking League One, talked Super League and Champions Cup. We've not mentioned the Championship.
No, we haven't.
Come on.
And certainly the last round of the Championship, the last full round, came a couple of weeks ago. Toronto were winners against Swinton. Toulouse, winners against Featherstone. London Broncos lost out to Leigh Centurions. Halifax defeated Sheffield. Barrow won late against Batley. And we had a rare victory for the Rochdale Hornets against Dewsbury Rams.
Without a doubt, Rochdale doing it tough, haven't they?
They are doing it tough, yeah. They've got a very young squad at this moment in time. Unfortunately, couldn't back up that victory with another one against Batley the following week. And then we also saw a great big victory for Barrow Raiders as well this past weekend against Dewsbury, who were going tough as well. And Sheffield Eagles lost out heavily to London Broncos.
Warren Turley, always been a pleasure to have you on the Final Hoot. So one final question before we let you go, very quickly. You mentioned West Wales being one of the venues that you kind of don't like. What venue did you like going to as a ref?
Refereed a couple of times at Oddsall. I always found that a good arena because of the size of it and the atmosphere that could be created. I touched us probably the last Leeds and Bradford derby there, actually 20,000 on, and it was wow, it was amazing. And like I said, I was involved with a couple of Magic weekends. Certainly, as a Man City fan, being involved at the Etihad was probably up there with being the best.
Always a pleasure, Warren. And we're going to leave the last words to Alan Kilshaw after Rochdale defeated Dewsbury.
Alan, talk through that last sequence of play with the charge down, drop goal, and then the try, what was going through your head at that stage?
Yeah, even when they dropped the goal, I thought they might have gone a little bit early. And obviously, we went, and we probably a bit fortunate it was charged down. And I thought we had another try in us. I did. I thought they were looking a little bit more tired than us. I think both teams are out on the feet, and that last 15 minutes sort of crept on us, this heat, hasn't it? You know, it's been raining for about 11 months. So, I thought that, and look, Deck was really composed there. We'd bomb one. We bombed a couple today, so, you know, it was important. And them lads deserve it. But we had 9 lads, 21 and younger today. Average age was 23. Take Gaz Middlehurst out of that, and it's average age is probably 20, 21. So I would have been proud if we got beat. You know, that's all we asked for, was some effort today, and, you know, lads to have a dig for each other, and we certainly got that.
Big win, really, to bridge that gap.
Yeah, it is, and we've got a game in hand. On some of those, and 2 on some of them as well, so it was an important win, and you know, it was good to come here and not be 30 down at half time, and we've struggled away you know, since last year, and we spoke about that in the week, rewarding those fans. You know, we're not the best followed, you know, team, but you know, guys came to Whitehaven and we was pretty pretty off that day, so to repay them with that today, hopefully all is forgiven.
You seem to control the game quite well in the first half, certainly making steady yards and then kicking well most of the time at the end of them sets. You must have been quite pleased with how you were controlling the tempo of things.
Oh, I was disappointed with our last plays. I think we give 4 or 5, 7 play sets today, and you know, even there where Morgan's gone for a 40-20 early in the count, we didn't need to, but that's probably the youth, and you know, they've got to understand that how to manage a game, and those things I spoke to them about last week, you learn them by playing. You know, you don't learn them by on the field and in drills. You learn them by playing, and I think, you know, the more they play together, the more them young lads play together, I think we'll be better at those set finishes.
Radio General.